This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block. This month will be an important one for the future of high-speed rail. The Obama administration plans to start announcing which regions will receive grants from an $8 billion fund, part of the stimulus package. $8 billion is not a lot of money if you want to develop high-speed rail all across the country, but the administration says it has already received 278 proposals for rail projects. We're going to hear now from three areas, the Southeast, the Northwest, and first, Florida. Here's NPR's Greg Allen.
Florida has requested $2.5 billion to build what would be the first leg of a statewide system, a nearly 100-mile segment from Orlando to Tampa. Florida Transportation Secretary Stephanie Kapalousis says that the state has already acquired nearly all the land and secured many of the necessary permits for that segment.
We have gone through a lot of the planning processes as well as the environmental reviews to really be as close to shovel ready as there is a project around this country.
High-speed rail is something Florida has been talking about for a long time, nearly 30 years. It's a process that has seen several governors and the submission of several rail proposals, all of which went nowhere. High-speed rail advocate C.C. Doc Dockery says in Florida there's a clear need for high-speed rail, but at key moments, another important ingredient has been lacking.
It's really a matter of political will, and my guess is political will has something to do with what it costs to do this.
In South Florida, that lack of political support has been a problem for this rail system. Tri-Rail is a line that runs 50 trains a day from this station at Miami's airport to Palm Beach County. Declining government support recently forced Tri-Rail to take a drastic step to draw on its capital funds to keep operating. Rail advocate Doc Dockery believes, though, that support for rail is growing once again in Florida.
I think that we have today the political will to move forward, and not only the will to move forward, the enthusiastic desire to see something happen.
After showing little interest at first, some leading Republicans in the legislature, along with Governor Charlie Crist, are now speaking out in favor of the Florida proposal. Advocates think after 30 years, they're finally getting close to breaking ground on the first leg of a high-speed rail system. In its proposal, Florida's Department of Transportation is also asking for $30 million to begin planning what would be the system's second segment, running from Orlando to Miami. Greg Allen, NPR News.
I'm Liam Moriarty.
Welcome, everyone.
At a conference in Portland, Oregon, a group of public officials, consultants, and passenger rail enthusiasts gathers for a pep talk. They're pushing for high-speed rail in what's called the Cascade Corridor along the Pacific Northwest coast. Gregor Robertson, the mayor of Vancouver, British Columbia, has come down from Canada to sign an agreement with Portland Mayor Sam Adams. They're pledging to work together to get high-speed rail between their two cities. Later, Robertson talks about his vision of a coastal Northwest linked by fast trains.
We have a great affinity for our cities to the south in Seattle and Portland, and be able to jump on a train and be in Seattle or Portland in a couple hours would be a remarkable breakthrough.
That's a common sentiment at this get-together, visions of bullet trains whizzing between Northwest cities. But Kirk Fredrickson says there's a lot of steps before that can happen.
And each one of those steps is going to be very expensive.
Fredrickson is a project manager with the Washington State Department of Transportation. He says the state's long-range plan calls for incremental improvements that would allow the existing Amtrak trains to go up to 110 miles per hour. That would cut the 3.5-hour Seattle to Portland trip down to 2.5 hours.
But to do the things that some folks in here today are talking about going up to an hour and a half, I just don't know if that's going to be realistic here in the next at least couple of decades here in the Pacific Northwest because of our terrain and the geography and the cost.
True high-speed rail goes upwards of 160 miles per hour and requires dedicated track and rights of way. No one has any real estimate of how much that would cost along the nearly 500 miles of the Cascade Corridor, but it would be huge. Transportation officials in Washington state are hoping to get a nearly $900 million slice of the federal high-speed rail pie. Kirk Fredrickson says the proposed projects would unblock bottlenecks and add more trains.
We can get our trains to run on time more often, we could add more service, and then we could reduce the travel times between cities. All of those things will ultimately lead to a cultural awareness here in the Pacific Northwest, whereby passenger service will become part of people's daily lives.
Washington state officials hope the millions in state funds they've spent over the past 15 years to develop passenger rail service in the Northwest will give them a leg up when it comes to seeking federal money. For NPR News, I'm Liam Moriarty in Seattle.
This is Debbie Elliott in Alabama. The South is behind when it comes to being ready to spend new federal money on high-speed rail.
We haven't started.
Richard Finley of Birmingham chairs the Southern High-Speed Rail Commission. With the exception of Virginia and North Carolina, southern states are scrambling to catch up, but obstacles remain.
The biggest obstacle in Alabama is that our 1901 Constitution forbids the highway department, if you will, we call it the Department of Transportation, but it's really just the highway department, from investing any of their money in alternative transportation.
Other states are also reluctant to commit. Louisiana dropped a plan to seek stimulus money for passenger service between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, and Georgia has been slow to get on board, even though Atlanta lies on two of the rail corridors designated by the Obama administration. Dave Williams is mayor of Suwanee, a suburb on congested Interstate 85. He says sprawling metropolitan Atlanta was designed for cars.
We have no real defined traffic patterns. We've got people commuting. It's like a bowl of spaghetti.
Farther south, along the riverfront in downtown Mobile, Elizabeth Sanders of the Downtown Alliance is standing where Amtrak used to stop. A freight train is passing.
I mean, how long is this? It must go for miles.
That was the problem for passenger rail here, she says.
Even when we had service from Mobile to New Orleans, it was not regular. It was not competitive time-wise. Everybody wants to blame Amtrak, but in fact, they're running on a very, very busy freight rail line. So it's been hard to build that business.
Even if a new stimulus-funded system ran on time, could the region break from its car-centric culture?
No, not in the South.
Housewife Donna Kelly is gassing up her SUV in suburban Birmingham.
I don't see Southerners giving up their cars for a rail system. They still like to pull out the buggies and the horses and things like that, too, around here. So, no, I don't foresee that.
Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
And tomorrow we continue our series of reports on high-speed rail. We'll explore the so-called last-mile problem. What happens when you get off a train and still have to reach your final destination? And you can find more about high-speed rail plans at thenewnpr.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.